Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
We are looking today at a fabulous cheerleader. His name was Barnabas. And we see that he, all of his life, was constantly leading cheers. We support one another. If I could, I would embrace you and you would embrace me. And this is when oxytocin goes out. It's a powerful thing, a powerful ingredient that happens in genuine cheerleading.
The truth is, an encouraging word can change someone's day. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young begins his message, You Need a Cheerleader, exploring the power of encouragement in your own life and in the lives of others. Stay with us. The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young begins in just a moment. Before we get to Dr. Young's message, there's a lot we can learn from observing God's creation. And sometimes the most profound lessons come from the most unlikely places. Dr. Young wants to help you build your home according to God's design with his devotional book, Cardinal Rules for a Happy Home. It'll bless you and help you apply biblical principles and lessons from nature to whatever stage you find yourself in your family and marriage. We'll send you a copy of Cardinal Rules for a Happy Home as thanks for your gift to help keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and people all over the world through this program. So call now to request your copy when you give. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. You can also text the word winning to 41411. Text winning to 41411. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day, so we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. How has the Winning Walk impacted your life? Share your story with us by going to winningwalk.org/mystory. Now here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, You Need a Cheerleader.
In metropolitan Houston, 3.5-4 county area, I just read where there are now 7.12 million people. When the Allen brothers decided where to locate Houston, they went down to the Buffalo Bayou and they said, this is the spot. And there's a plaque down there that says, we're looking for a city that has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. We're not there, but this body of Christ is committed to making that a reality. Remain standing for just a minute, and I want to read and introduce you to a fabulous cheerleader. Book of Acts, chapter number 11, verse 22 following. The news about them reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas, that's our cheerleader, they sent Barnabas off to Antioch. Then when he arrived and witnessed the grace of God, he rejoiced and began to encourage them all with resolute heart to remain true to the Lord. For he was a good man, Barnabas, a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And considerable numbers were brought to the Lord. And he left for Tarsus to look for Saul, Paul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. And for an entire year, they met with the church and taught considerable numbers. And the disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. May be seated. In 1898, a young student named Johnny Campbell became the first known cheerleader in the United States of America. On the campus of University of Minnesota, an athletic contest was taking place, and Johnny Campbell stood up and led all of those in the stands in a cheer for those who were playing on the field. He became the first cheerleader. We are looking today at a fabulous cheerleader. His name was Barnabas. And we see that he, all of his life, was constantly leading cheers. What happens when Altuve got up to the plate and the crowd is going crazy and they cheer? You say, well, that didn't make any difference. Oh, it does. Let me tell you what happens. With our hormones, what happens when cheers go out? I want you to look at these two chemicals, if you would. Oxytocin. Oxytocin is that chemical that happens when a mother is breastfeeding a child. Oxytocin is that chemical that happens when a husband and wife are making love. It is bonding. Oxytocin is what happens when we embrace and we support one another. It is a sense of belonging. Oxytocin goes out from the crowd. It goes to the team, and the team in turn returns some oxytocin to us. And when this happens, we feel like we belong. We're a part of. We're held. We're cuddled. This is a part of what we mean in the church family, that we have koinonia. It's family. We support one another. If I could, I would embrace you and you would embrace me. And this is when oxytocin goes out. It's a powerful thing, a powerful ingredient that happens in genuine cheerleading. Look at the next word there. Dopamine. Dopamine is that thing that surges through our body when we're running, when we're exercising. It gets us a feeling of happiness. It gives us a feeling of joy. And so in the cheering process, dopamine goes out from the audience all the way to those who are on the field. Or individually, it goes out, and it is the happiness pill that we receive. All of this happens when you and I become like Barnabas, real, genuine cheerleaders. Let me tell you something. The more cheerleaders you've had in your life, the more secure, the more safe, the more gifted you are at this moment in your life. I look back on my life and I said, who is the first cheerleader I can remember? I remember being in the ninth grade history class, sitting on the back row with all the Bubbas. You know the Bubbas on the back row? See, in my little town, and in most towns and cities today, basically, there's the upper end, the country club crowd, and there's the lower end. In our town, it was Masonite, the hourly workers. And so, therefore, we who were Bubbas, my dad wore khakis every day to work his whole life, and those who were from the other side of the tracks, their tracks literally in my little town that divided one side from the other side, you know, we were the Bubbas. And the Bubbas generally didn't make good grades. There were exceptions. We just didn't care. You know, we just got by. You know, we were from the other side of the tracks. And therefore, when grades were handed out, legitimately so, the teachers, they knew who had it and who didn't have it. And generally speaking, those Bubbas, you know, we stayed in the Bubba category for two or three generations, and the others in the white collar category for two or three generations. There's exceptions, of course. And so when the grades are given out, those on the front row, they got better grades than all of us good old boys, Bubbas on the back row, right? You identify? You know what I'm talking about? I'm not talking Greek to anybody here. You get it. And what happened was we had a new teacher named Mr. West. He came to our high school. He didn't know anybody, didn't know the town, didn't know the constellation. And the second day of class, he said, I want all of you to go home and write a paper on any country in the world, a little two-page handwritten paper. That was our assignment. So I went home and I wrote a paper. I even remember the name of the paper. And titled it, Russia: Sleeping Giant. That was my paper, little two-page paper. Turned it in. Back row with the Bubbas. New teacher. He didn't know the constellation. He didn't know the grading standards. He didn't know that the highest grade I'd made to that moment was a B. All the rest were down the road. He didn't know that. But that day, he said, I read all of your papers. And he said, the best paper by far was written by Edwin Young. Oh, my running mate sort of X'd me out. I want you to know right then. Those at the front said, who? My first cheerleader in school. That changed my whole academic future. From that experience through high school, college, graduate school, seminary, I got just a little stronger every year academically because I had a cheerleader back there who said just a simple word to me. To my knowledge, I never talked to him. I never dialogued with him. I don't remember anything, but I remember that one moment, and it changed my academic life because of a cheerleader. You've got people like that. Mom or dad, brother, sister, friend, aunt, uncle, somebody. Somewhere along the way, somebody saw something in you that others had not seen, and they may have just said a breath of affirmation, just one little slight cheer, and it meant everything to you. Barnabas was a cheerleader. Now, Barnabas was a cheerleader. He came from the upper end of society. So it works both ways, not just a matter of haves and have-nots. No, no, that's not it. Barnabas was from Cyprus, little island there. He was a Levite. Who were the Levites? The Levite was the one tribe that did not bow to the golden calf that was built by Aaron when Moses went on Mount Sinai. The Levites didn't bow to that pagan calf. And therefore, they were especially honored, and they became more or less the staff, the ministers in the tabernacle and in the temple. And they were seeped in biblical truth, the Levite. So we have Barnabas, born on Cyprus, Hellenistic society, upper end probably of the society economically, but he became a cheerleader. And the first thing we see Barnabas doing in Acts chapter number 4, he is a cheerleader for the church. Let me tell you something. The 30 years, which encompasses the birthday of the church, in that 30 years is the most important years in history that are inscribed in the book of Acts. It is the story of the early church. It began at Pentecost. And what is the last word in the book of Acts? Don't look. Does anybody know the last word in the book? Anybody know? Any of our theologians know? Anybody know what that word is? Don't look. Uninhibited. unrestrained. The church, the body of Christ, little 30-year slice. And so we look at that and we see one of the leaders who didn't really seem like a leader. Someone who had the gift of discernment, but yet was not overbearing. Someone who was confident, but someone who was not prideful. Barnabas. His real name was Joseph, but he received a nickname. His nickname was Barnabas. Call him Barn. So Barn was his nickname. His real name was Joseph. And that nickname means son of encouragement. It means cheerleader. He was a cheerleader. Nicknames stick with you, don't they? Just thought about it. My high school principal was named Rat Boyd, R-A-T Boyd. Well named. But anyway, we have a cheerleader there. And first of all, Barnabas was a cheerleader for the church. Well, how do you know that? He sold some property. He became a Christian on Cyprus, evidently. He sold some property, and he took all the money from the property he sold and laid it at the feet of the apostles. He knew they needed funding as they started that first church. By the way, what was the size of the first church? Peter preached at Pentecost, 3,000 came to faith in Christ. Just a few weeks later, he preached again, and 5,000 came to faith in Christ. In the first month and a half, there were 8,000 people who were part of the first church. And people would say, well, I want a small church. You wouldn't even join the first church that was ever created. And so we see Barnabas cheerleading the church. He says, look, I am rich, but he gave it all to the church. He said, now I am poor. He was a cheerleader. He believed in the body of Christ. We also see later on, along with Paul, poverty came, a famine came in Jerusalem and Judea. It was Barnabas who went and took up the offering from the Gentiles who'd come to Christ, and he gave that to those who were starving there in that area. He was a cheerleader. He gave. Now, I want to teach you a little church history you're going to need. So hang with me. It's important, and you'll discover it's very, very exciting. The first 10 years of the history of the church, Pentecost forward, basically 99% of those who were part of that first body of Christ were completed Jews. They were Jews who believed that Jesus of Nazareth was the Messiah. First 10 years, it stayed generally right there. Jerusalem, Judea, probably Galilee, a little bit, right in that geographical place for 10 years. And the gospel did not go out to the Gentiles. Who were the Gentiles? In the Bible, anybody who is not a Jew is a Gentile. Got it? So when did the word get to the Gentiles? Well, the first was when Philip went into Samaria and preached to them, and the Samaritans came to Christ. Remember, the Samaritans were half Jews, so they were not completely Gentiles. And then Cornelius, who was a centurion, he went to Peter with his family and said, We want what you've got. You've got Jesus. Explain that to us. And so he was really the first Gentile. But the first group of people who became Christians was there at Antioch in Syria. Now imagine that we heard in Baghdad of people becoming Christians left and right in Baghdad today. We'd say, well, what's going on in Baghdad? Who's preaching? Who's evangelizing? What's happening? We'd have to send somebody to Baghdad to find out what in the world's going on down there in that Muslim area, wouldn't we? This is what happened then. And so the church said, man, Gentiles, we hear by great numbers are coming to believe in Jesus Christ. They're in Antioch. We've got to send somebody there to find out if it's real. If it's genuine. And they selected our cheerleader, Barnabas. Barnabas went to Antioch. He's blown away. He said, my goodness, no, how did this happen? How did all these people come to Christ? And he was overwhelmed, and he said, I really don't know what to do. And by the way, it says they were first called Christians, Jesus followers in Antioch. The word Christians means Messiah men, Messiah women, Christos. Huh. You know where we got that name? From pagans. Jews would not have called us Messiah men, Messiah women. The pagan says those followers of Jesus, they are Messiah folks, Messiah folks. First, that name was given by pagans for those of us in that church in Antioch, a Gentile church of all places on the planet. While we're there, let's look at some of the names which we have. In the Bible, Christians are called disciples. Disciple comes from being disciplined. Primarily, it's used in the Gospels. Also, it's mentioned a little bit in Acts. But nowhere in the letters of Paul, nowhere in the rest of the Bible do you find the word disciple. Disciple primarily were those who were following Jesus, and he was teaching them the disciplines of what it meant to be in his family, what it meant to know him. Disciples. Disciples. And then what's another name? We're also called in the Bible saints. Did you know if you're in Christ, you're a saint? Yeah, a saint. What is that? A saint is how God sees you and how God sees me. Because we've received Christ, God looks at me and says, there's a saint. Really? Yes. We are covered with the righteousness of Christ. He sees you as a Christ. He sees me as a Christ. That's the exchange life. So we were called saints, disciples, disciplined, being in training, mentored by Jesus primarily. Then we're called saints because God sees us as perfect.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Well, before we leave you today, Dr. Young is here to answer a couple of questions coming out of the message we've just heard. Dr. Young, you talked about the story of Barnabas encouraging Paul when he was a new Christian, but do you think everyone has it in them to be that way, or is it a gift only some Christians have?
You know, I think all of us could be Barnabas. There's some things, you know, I can't preach like Peter, I can't write like Paul, and I can't sing like a lot of great singers, but one thing I can do is be sensitive to people and to encourage them, to cheer for them, to support them in every way we possibly can. The world beats us all up in so many different ways. How thrilling it is to have those people who, when we meet them, we know they have an encouraging word. We know they genuinely care about us. They're not just trying to be mischievous and trying to find things to gossip about. They really are concerned. And we really care about people, and we're learning to love as God loves us, we will all be Barnabas, folks. We'll be cheerleaders and encouragers, and that's in the range of anybody to do.
Thanks, Dr. Young. We hope today's message has been a source of encouragement for you, and we'd love to help you build a strong marriage and home by sending you Dr. Young's devotional book called Cardinal Rules for a Happy Home. God has a wonderful design for your home in which He wants to build your family and marriage. In His 90-day devotional book, Cardinal Rules for a Happy Home, Dr. Young draws on lessons from nature, God's Word, and personal experience to help you have the godly marriage God wants for you. And each daily devotional takes just 15 minutes, so even the busiest couple can find time for it. We're excited to send you a copy of Cardinal Rules for a Happy Home as thanks for your gift to help keep the Winning Walk strong, encouraging you and people all over the world with the proven truth of God's Word. So call now and give and request your copy. 1-800-350-WALK. 1-800-350-9255. You can also text the word WINNING to 41411. Text WINNING to 41411. Thanks for being with us today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Listen in next week as Dr. Young closes out his message with more proven truth on the impact you can have when you choose to be a cheerleader. Have a great weekend.